James chapter 2, we're going to look at this idea of a true or false conversion, devilish faith. Devilish faith. James 2:14, we're just going to start with that one verse. We'll read the rest here, but it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" So what's the profit, brothers? If you say you have faith but you don't have works, can that type of faith save you? And that's what's before us today. A devilish faith. What does that look like? Verse 19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." There's a devilish faith that really is no faith at all. I'm dealing with this. Sunday night I preached a message on kind of the same topic, really, if you want to look at it like that, dealing with repentance and what is repentance. And coming up here again, I'm going to be dealing with that again. You say, why are you talking about this so much? Because we need it. Because there's so much false teaching out there. We don't understand what salvation is and what salvation will truly do for somebody. And there's been such a perversion of it, such a watering down of it. It's just been diluted and diluted and diluted, and it has no strength anymore, to where people believe that if you teach that, you know, somebody gets saved, it's going to change their life. You get accused of preaching a work salvation. Why? Why would that even happen? Because the doctrine of salvation has been so diluted that we are confused and we don't even know what it is. Preachers are confused about what the doctrine of salvation is. So we're going to look at this devilish faith. We could put it like this: faith and works. What role do they play together? Do they play a role together? I think everybody in here, as far as I know, maybe not, but as far as I know, we're all established on the fact that salvation is by grace through faith without any admixture of works. I think we can all say amen to that. Yes, absolutely. Salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. No works whatsoever. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." A gift, all you can do with the gift is either accept it or reject it. That's it. And that's what salvation is. It's, you can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't do enough good deeds to get it. You can't change yourself enough to get it. It's either you accept the gift or you reject the gift. That's all you can do with the gift. And God says salvation's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 11:6, "And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work." So it can't be, you know, faith and works. Because if it's any bit of works, then it's no more grace at all. It's all you. And again, I know this may sound crude, but when people want to trust in a works salvation, what they're doing to earn their salvation, what they're doing is they're spitting in the face of Jesus and what he did on the cross. That's nothing. I don't need that. And I hope I'm going to clear this up on where do faith and works fit in together in regards to salvation? After, that's right. After salvation. Now, me personally, in my life, I had someone challenge me on this. When I had just gotten saved, I just got in church, I'd been maybe saved for like a year and a half, maybe just a little bit more. And I was getting taught some things. I was taught, you know, hey, salvation's by grace through faith. It's not of works. Amen. I saw it in the Bible. I believed it. And then somebody threw James chapter 2 in at me. They said, well, what about James 2? I said, well, what about it? I hadn't read it yet. And I read it. I mean, after I talked with him, I read it. And I was like, oh, I didn't know what to think of it. I was like, what do I do? I talked with my pastor. He explained it some to me. It didn't make sense still. I mean, it took years for this to actually make sense and me to be able to put it together and understand what it's teaching. I hope I can help you with that today. Let's read through this here. James chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Excuse me, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to just please give me clarity of thought. Help me to explain this clearly. Help it to make sense. Lord, give us understanding. We need knowledge, wisdom from above. We're asking you to meet with us. Lord, please help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what role exactly do works play in regard to salvation, if any? We said they come afterwards. Amen, they do. How does it all fit, though? Because, I mean, at first reading, when I first read this, just my own personal testimony was I didn't know what to think of this, and I thought it was teaching a work salvation, and it threw me for a loop. I didn't know what to do with James chapter 2. So what role does this play? Is there any profit if I stand here and demand that I have faith but don't have works with it? Is there any profit to that? That's what he's asking. That's the question he's asking. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can that faith save him? Can faith save him? If I must have works with it, is that a work salvation? On top of that, if I have faith and no works, can that type of faith save me? These are all sincere questions that have sound biblical answers to them. The answer, the truth is there. And these are things we need to be grounded in if we're to help others along. We have to be grounded in the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul's telling Timothy, he says, if I tarry long that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We have to be grounded in these things, and we have to be grounded in the Lord's church, because that's the pillar and ground of the truth. And we can build up from the pillar and ground. That's where strength is found. The Bible teaches us that there's a real faith and a devilish faith. Both are there. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. How do you distinguish between the two, though? Let me sum it up like this. A real saving faith will always be accompanied by works. That's the summation of James chapter 2, verses 14 to the end of the chapter. A true, genuine saving faith will always be accompanied by works. That's where it fits in. Let me just get this out of the way just right here at the beginning in case I forget to say it later. If you're truly saved, you are going to have the works to go along with that. If you have a devilish faith, you'll say, well, I have faith, I'm saved. I asked Jesus to be my Savior, but the works won't be there. Okay? Does it mean you're going to be perfect? No. Does it mean you're going to stop sinning? No. But it does mean there's going to be works there. There absolutely will be. We're going to look at that through here as we go through this. True faith and works go hand in hand. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Save your spot in James. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. You get Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It's like one of those passages. Nobody just memorizes Ephesians 2, 8, or nobody just memorizes Ephesians 2, 9. I don't know anyone that's ever memorized those verses without memorizing both of them together, because they fit so well. But what we tend to do is we get some passages like that, and we forget the context around them. And if you just go one more verse in this, it's going to explain some things to you that fit right in with James chapter 2. So verses 8 and 9 say, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation's completely free. You can't earn it. There's no works you can do to earn salvation. Here's verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. That's where they fit after. If you're saved, God created you unto good works. So if you're truly saved, there's going to be some good works there. Something's different is going to be inside of you. You're going to be different. You're going to be changed. You will have good works backing up your profession of faith. Does that make sense? Do you have a dead, devilish faith or a real faith? Do you have works backing up what you're saying? I know a lot of people that know the Bible very good. They can spit out scripture like that, like that, like that, like that. But as I look at their life, it seems like they've got a devilish faith because there's no works. What do you have? Some would say they turn to, see if I can find it real quickly. I didn't plan on going here. First Samuel, I believe it's chapter 16. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Saul, King Saul, first king of Israel, has been rejected as king. God tells him, Samuel, go anoint the next king. Go to the house of Jesse. He shows up there. God is kind of very vague with him. He says, just show up there. It's going to be one of his sons. So he gets there. He says, hey, get your sons together. They get all of them except one. And he sees the first one. The prophet Samuel stands before him. I forget which son it was, the oldest. But anyway, it says there in verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It was Eliab, the oldest. And God rejected him. And Samuel was like, what? But God knew what Samuel was thinking. He said, don't look on his outward appearance. He's big, he's strapping, he's strong, he looks like he'd make a good king, but don't look on that. I'm looking on his heart. So people are going to say, well, you can't judge me. You can't judge someone's salvation. You can't see their heart. God sees their heart. That's right, God does see their heart. I cannot see their heart. What can I see? The outward appearance. Isn't that what this verse says? See, they want to throw away half of the verse for the verse, the part of it that they like. And I'm telling you, this is modern day Christianity. Jumps to this for almost everything. Well, you can't judge my heart. You don't know me. If I want to listen to Christian rock and rap and all that garbage and do all these filthy things with my life and have no sense of holiness to my life, you don't know my heart. God knows my heart. That's right. God does know your heart. He said, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance. All I can do is look at what you show me. That's all I can do because I can't see your heart. God looks on the heart. Only God can see the heart. Let me say this here. Some people have pit here in James chapter 2, James against Paul. And they say, oh, one's teaching one thing, someone else teaching another thing. Again, the hyper-dispensationalists fit in right here as well, okay? Different salvations. I don't believe that. What we've got here is Paul is looking at how a man is justified before God. What does God see? God sees our faith. Amen. And James is dealing with how a man is justified before other men. Well, what can we see? Well, I can't see his heart. I can't see your heart. All I can see is your works. That's the only way I know if you're saved. Jesus said, you know, you shall know their tree by their fruit. Jesus said that. So they're going to jump to that verse there for Samuel. You can't see my heart. You don't know what I'm feeling. That's right. But I do know what the Bible says, that if you have true salvation, it's going to come out in your works. So what's the practical application of a working faith, or what does real faith look like? The practical application of a working faith is that you won't just talk about helping someone in need, you'll actually help them. Verse 15, we're back in James chapter 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So, let's say you're starving. You lost your house. It's the middle of winter. It's about a month and a half ago and it's freezing outside, you know. I mean, getting down to like 10 degrees at night, 8 degrees at night. It's freezing. You show up at a brother or sister in Christ's house, knocking on their door. You've got your family there with you. I mean, you guys are shivering, freezing. You haven't eaten in a week. You knock on your brother or sister's door. I mean, they got the heater cranked up, you know. The dad answers the door. He's chewing on a chicken bone. I mean, he's got food, and you can see all the food he spilt on himself. And you knock on that door, I mean, just looking miserable and pathetic. And he opens that door, and you know, he's munching that. He's got a bowl of popcorn over here. I don't know. I mean, he's got food to give. He's able. And you, brother, please, can you help us? We're starving. Anything you've got would help. Can we sleep in your back shed? He's like, oh, brother, I'm sorry. I've got too much stuff in there. Can't do that. Forget offering, even bringing them in the house, right? I just can't, brother. And we can't spare any food. I'm just sorry. I've got to take care of my family. But hey, I'll be praying for you. Be ye warmed and filled. Have a good day, brother. What would that profit you? Would it do you any good? You say, no, that's ridiculous. That wouldn't do me any good. Okay, let's see what the Bible says now. So if they come to you, a brother or sister, be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be ye warmed and filled. Hey, go in peace. Be warmed and filled. But ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Does it profit anything? I think the obvious answer is no, of course not. What does verse 17 say? Okay, just like that would be no profit to anybody. It wouldn't help them whatsoever. He's making an analogy here. He's like, we can all realize that would be useless. That wouldn't help them. Even so, he's like, let's compare these things then. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. The Bible says, ye hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and spirit, in trespasses and sins. He's quickened. He's made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. But he says, if that's the type of faith you have, if your faith hath not works, it's dead being alone. You don't have saving faith. You've got a devilish faith. So, no, but I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Again, verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? You can say it all you want, but if there's no action to it, no works to it, that faith is dead. It's a dead faith. There is no faith. You don't have true saving faith. Now, let me say this. Somebody comes to you like that, and you're out in about the same situation as they are, and you can't give them anything, it doesn't mean that you don't have faith. If you send them off and say, hey, I'm sorry, brother, we really can't. We have nothing. And you have to do that. It doesn't mean you don't have saving faith. And you tell them, I'm going to be praying for you. Let's pray right now. And you pray with them and send them on their way. I understand. So don't think that, just because you can't maybe help someone when they're in need, that you don't have faith. I want to make sure that's clear as well. Okay, because we want to help people if we can. We'll do all we can for them. And especially, I say, those of the household of God. Especially those who are saved. We got some strangers that will come here and ask for stuff, and we've given it to them, but I am so much more inclined to help somebody who's a part of this church and wants to be here and is going to be here, a brother or sister in Christ. I'd be faster to help them than I would somebody I don't know. And I'm dead sure not going to give them money. I don't know what their deal is or what the circumstance is, but I've given a ton of people food here. We will do that. If we have it, I'll give it to them. I've given them my lunch. But we need to look to a brother or sister first. So he says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So if that's the type of faith you have, and it doesn't have works with it, it's dead. There's no life to it. Jesus said it like this, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What's he saying? Have some works backing it up. Love your enemies. Those are the works that fit in. Bless those that curse you. It is cold and heartless to just speak kind words to someone who's starving when you have the means to help them. How is that any different from how the devil treats people? Think about that. We're talking about, hey, the devils believe God. How's that any different than how the devil treats people? He promises them much and gives them death and destruction. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what Satan came to do. How are we helping somebody? We say we have faith, but we wouldn't help them in a situation like that. We don't have true saving faith if there's no works backing it up. A devilish faith will just speak empty words. This should remind each of us to really live out our faith. Like what Albert Barnes said here, he said, faith is designed to lead to good works. It is intended to produce a holy life, a life of activity in the service of the Savior. This is its very essence. It is what it always produces when it is genuine. Religion is not designed to be a cold abstraction. It is to be a living and vivifying principle. It'll change you. A faith devoid of works is no genuine faith at all, but a devilish faith. If your faith isn't backed up by good works, you don't have salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Some of you are saying, I know this, I know this. Good, I'm glad you know it. Get it planted in there. This is true saving faith. This is what we want. This is what we're looking for in people. And we want them to be saved. We want to see God changing their life. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. See, they had faith and then it put them to work. John demanded it. John the Baptist, he told the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Show me you've repented. Bring forth that fruit that's showing you repented. I also don't want us to get the idea that we have to muster up our own works. God does the work in us. People get this all mixed up right here, what I'm talking about. They think, well, I'll change my life, I'll fix my life up, and then I'll come to Christ. That is not how it works. You just surrender to God. You come to Him just broken how you are, realizing you need a Savior. You receive the gift of eternal life, and God will do the work inside of you. God will begin to change you. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God does the work in us. To will and do of His good pleasure. If you're saved, God's the one that's going to do the changing. God will bring forth the works in your life. God's the one that does it. Don't lose sight of that. It's not me mustering it up. It's because I have salvation, the natural result is going to be that I do good works. It's just like when a baby is born, they have life. The natural result is that they're going to breathe. We would just all expect that. Man, that baby's going to cry. That baby's going to want milk. That baby's going to mess itself. That's natural. Okay, somebody gets saved. The natural result is that there's going to be good works. If there's no good works, the Bible says that faith without works is dead, being alone. I think you may understand this here. This is my daughter's doll. What's her name, Kimberly? Caitlin. This is Caitlin. Caitlin's alive. She has life in her. Say hi, Caitlin. Say hi, Caitlin. Hi. Okay, no. She's got life. She's going to walk now. No, seriously, she's going to walk. She's got life. I mean, just, I'm telling you. Really, she's going to walk. Go ahead, Caitlin. She's alive. I mean, I know you believe me, right? Who thinks she's alive? No one. You think that's ridiculous, Pastor? What are you, like, this guy's mental? What's wrong with him? Why would he think she's alive? That's crazy. But no, she's alive. I'm telling you, she's alive. She really is alive. I'm telling you. You're thinking, no, I can see plainly she's not. There's no evidence of any life whatsoever in her. I mean, her elbows don't even bend. She's plastic. She's not alive. She didn't even say, hi, that was you. We know that. There's no life to this, right? There's no life. I'll hide this back here. Okay, Caitlin is not alive. We understand that. Why? Because there's no evidence of any life in her. But even as long as I can stand here and demand and say, no, Caitlin's alive. I'm telling you she's alive. How dare you tell me she's not alive? But there's professing Christians out there that say, I'm alive. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm saved. I prayed the prayer. I've even been baptized. I have that life. But there's no works. It's just like Caitlin. She's alive. She'll talk, Caitlin. She doesn't do it. Say hi, Caitlin. She doesn't do it. Walk, Caitlin. She doesn't do it. Anything you'd expect somebody with life to do, she doesn't do any of it. So how many millions of professing Christians say, I've received Christ as my Savior, have just a devil's faith? Because faith without works is dead, being alone. Just like she's dead and there's no life in her, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. If you have no works, your faith is dead. You're not alive. You have no spiritual life. That may be harsh. That may hurt some feelings, but that's the truth of the Word of God. I didn't say it. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Hey, let me say, the devils at least tremble. Many of these professing Christians don't even tremble at the Word of God. They don't fear God. They don't care anything about what God says. The devils at least tremble. But you've got professing Christians that run out and sin and live it up and do whatever they want and think. They're no different than any Catholic. I'll just go to confession. I have eternal life. I got my license to sin. Paul said, only use not this liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Yes, you're forgiven. Yes, you have eternal life. If you're truly saved, you've got it. But don't use that as an occasion of the flesh. But you've got a lot of people, professing Christians, you've got a lot of Baptists that are out there saying that, oh, hey, I'm saved, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I know I have eternal life, the Bible says it, and we've taught this people this, we've watered down the gospel of Jesus Christ, which says that if you're truly saved, you're going to be a new creature. If you're truly saved, there's going to be some works backing it up. If you come to the cross, there's been repentance, and there's been none of that in any of these people's lives, but they prayed the prayer, so they're saved. Walk, Caitlin. Get up, Caitlin. And they're standing there saying, no, I'm saved. I'm saved. But there's no fruit in their life. There's no evidence of it. And again, you start talking like this. You can't judge me. God knows my heart. That's right. But I look on the outward appearance. That's all I can do. And what you show me sure does appear more like devilish faith than true faith. I'm telling you, that's not the salvation I got. God changed me. I mean, a kid gets saved at 8, 9 years old, 5, 6. I know some people who've gotten saved at that age. I don't really push that, but I mean, I know some that have. God changed them too. They didn't have to come out of the gutter maybe like some of us did or some of just the awful sin that we got into, but God changed them just the same. It's no different. He still changed us. You're still a new creature. You were still a wicked, rotten sinner that needed a Savior. The salvation I got changed me. If you have genuine salvation, it'll change you. Profession of faith is merely just that, a profession. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. It says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You can't show your faith without your works. You cannot do it. You can say it all you want, but you can't show it. I mean, how many people have we ever heard say, you know, oh, I don't go to church, those people are hypocrites. Why? Because they knew someone that said they were a Christian and was just a rotten thief and a liar. I mean, everything else. And so I don't want anything to do with that. That's what's over there, those hypocrites. I want nothing to do with that. I understand that. I get that. That makes sense to me. The thing is, though, were they really Christians? I say probably not. Most of 99% of the time, not. I'm not saying Christians can't do bad things, can't do wrong and sin. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying most of the time, they're not. The complete or whole picture of biblical faith requires the evidence of works in our lives. Let me back up real quick here. Real faith. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How many people say they love God and they go and sin on Saturday night and come to church on Sunday morning? Go party it up at a club or something, fornicating. And yet they're here in church on Sunday morning. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 2:3-4. And hereby we do know that we know him. So here, hey, here's how we know him. If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him. So see, we're professing. They're saying it. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. I didn't say that. God said that. If you say you know him and you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. You're not saved. It almost sounds like John here saying the same thing as James. And John's the guy that these people that water down the gospel, that they run to his gospel to say, see, it's just believe. Repentance isn't even mentioned in the gospel of John, and it's not. But do we get our doctrine from just one book of the Bible or the whole thing? This is why I understand right principles of interpretation. All this stuff fits together to have sound doctrine. Jesus said, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And the next verse says, "And I give unto them eternal life." Who? To those sheep that follow Him. Those are the ones that truly have salvation. Those that follow Him. If we're not following Him, maybe we've got a devilish faith. So the complete or whole picture of biblical faith requires the evidence of works in our lives. Verse 21 says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Get this, verse 22. "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." What does that mean? It was made complete. It was made whole. See, faith without works is dead, being alone. So if you have true saving faith, the works will be there. It'll be a whole pie, if you will. The whole picture will be there. So if we want to say there's a puzzle or something and it's missing just one piece, what is that one piece? It's the works. The works. If you have true faith, then just like when a baby's born, they breathe. That's natural. So if you have true faith, the works are going to be there. It'll happen. That's how it's going to be. It's just the natural result of that. So that piece will be put in there, and that whole puzzle would be done perfectly, and you'd say it's perfect now. What's that mean? It's got every piece it needs. That's how salvation works. That's what it means, that faith without works is dead. If you're saved, you're going to have works backing it up, and you've got the whole package, the whole puzzle, the whole piece. The works are a result of the influence true faith has on a person. You can have works without faith. Let me ask you, if you have works without faith, is that any type of salvation? No, it's not. No, there's no salvation there. So you can have works without faith, but you cannot have true faith without works and be saved. If you have true faith, the works will be there. Okay? That may apply to some of our family, some of our friends, that we know that, oh, they've made a profession of faith, and that's what it is, a profession of faith. We don't know if they meant it. But now look and say, do they have works with it? If not, it's a devilish faith. At least that's what they're showing me. Is there been any type of change in their life? And everyone's going to be different. You can't measure everyone by, well, this is the one standard. If you don't get here, you're not saved. That's not it. It's just, is there going to be some change? There's going to be a difference. They're going to be a new creature. So do you have a devilish faith? Is it just something you say you have? If there's nothing backing up your profession, then I encourage you to look long and deep at your salvation and make certain you're truly saved. That's just for every one of us. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourself, see if you be in the faith. Take a look at yourself. 1 John, the book of 1 John was written so that we can know that we have eternal life. He said, I wrote this, so these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. You can know, and God said through John, I've written these things down so you can know that. And we read part of that, 1 John 2, 3, and 4. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. That's one of the ways you can know. Do you keep His commandments? Not are you sinless, because John deals with that. That was 1 John 2, 3, and 4. Well, just five verses above that, he talks about, hey, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So He understands we're going to sin. So that's implied in that. He knows that. So He deals with that at the beginning of the book. But then chapter 2, He says, hey, you know that you know Him. You know that you're saved if we keep His commandments. Do you keep His commandments? Is that a part of your life? If you're in complete rebellion to them all the time and you're only keeping them because, you know, that's what all my parents expect that, so that's why I do it. And you're not truly doing it. You know your heart. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. And if you're not, get saved. That doesn't just apply to kids. Us too, adults. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. If you have no works, it's a dead faith. It's like that. She's not alive. It's dead. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. Let's